sign your name on the wall where the canvas is hanging. And check out, I'm sure you can pick out my canvas, so take some time to look at those. You'll know which one's mine. Women's Bible study, Tuesday, they're starting a new study, the parables of Jesus. Also, we welcome to the pulpit a real preacher today, our emeritus pastor, Pastor Ron Farah. I never get a yay. And next week, we're going to answer the riddle I wrote that's in your announcement. So read that riddle, see if you can figure it out. Next Sunday, we'll talk about that, and we rise for opening day.
Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise.
Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 41. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Here ends our first reading. Our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Here ends the epistle reading.
At the table, a voice to be heard, a part in the song. The hands of a child in hands that are wrinkled, for young and for old, the right to be. Of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice. Justice and joy. Joy, joy, joy. At the table to live without fear and simply to be, to work, to speak out and witness and worship for everyone born, the right to be free. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. Justice and joy, justice and joy, justice and joy.
We rise for the Holy Gospel. Our Holy Gospel reading today comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Here ends our Holy Gospel reading. You may be seated.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I begin my sermon, I hope you will permit me to do two things. To say, first of all, yes, I have been asked. I also will be leading Bible class today, in case any of you are wondering. Secondly, I wanted, as Pastor Randy gets up here and says, "Good morning, everyone," I want to say good morning to Jean in Baltimore and Roger in Miami. My text is listed as John chapter 3, but I'm actually going to be referencing all of my scripture lessons for today. This is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people get Memorial Day and 4th of July and Veterans Day all mixed up. What do we celebrate, when, where, how? On Memorial Day, we celebrate those who have died in service to our country. And we thank all of those families who have sacrificed and been willing to give up their children for the sake of our freedom and our liberty. There is something very interesting I discovered in doing a little bit of research and reading about our involvement in World War I and World War II. The United States did not want to get involved. We got involved only reluctantly as a result of a variety of circumstances that occurred. So we got involved and we won those wars, but we did not win those wars without a lot of sacrifice. Keep two words in mind: reluctantly and sacrifice. Reluctantly and sacrifice. It's very common to hear things like this: play it safe. Don't do anything dangerous. Don't go there by yourself. You could get in trouble. Drive safely. Be careful. And we always say that's good advice. God would not want any of us to put ourselves in a position where we could be hurt. Sometimes I would say, that is absolutely correct. Play it safe. Don't put yourself in a position where you could be hurt. But sometimes there is an exception to that rule. And today I want to talk about that exception. And we're going to start by talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was part of what I would call the old Jewish moral police. Jesus would probably call him a part of the spiritually corrupt city hall. Except that Nicodemus was not like the rest of the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees wanted to get rid of Christ the minute they heard him talk. From the very beginning of his ministry, Nicodemus, on the other hand, was intrigued. And so he arranged a time to meet with Jesus. And he met with him and he asked questions and he got answers. As a result of that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Nicodemus eventually was led to become a believer in Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Now, I applaud that and I'm happy about that. But there is one thing I have to note. Did you notice when the meeting occurred? It occurred at night. Why? Because Nicodemus was afraid to come out of the shadows. He did not want his fellow Pharisees to know what he was doing. He was probably very certain that would get him into a great deal of trouble. Now we're going to turn to our first reading for today, the book of Acts. And in it, the disciples are speaking to a large crowd on Pentecost. You may recall last week, Pastor Randy pointing out that Pentecost was one of the very special holidays for the Jewish people, and hundreds of thousands of people would be in Jerusalem at that time. So we don't know how many people Jesus or Peter and the disciples were talking to, but there were probably thousands. But there's something interesting that comes before our text in the message that Peter is proclaiming to these Jews. He's saying, you Jews, you people killed your Messiah, your Savior and Lord. That was a rather bold message for him to proclaim. We're told as a result of that proclamation, 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ that day. What we don't know is how many people wanted to kill Peter and the disciples that day. We do know they tried to disparage their reputation by calling them drunk. Now, what's even more amazing is this, that from the time of the Ascension to Pentecost, where were the disciples? Every time you read about them, they are locked up someplace. They are holed up behind locked doors for fear that they might experience what Jesus experienced. And they wanted no part of that. But suddenly they were hit by the Holy Spirit. They came out of the shadows and boldly proclaimed Christ as Savior and Lord. Today, Christ asks every one of us to come out of the shadows and look for every opportunity we can to share Christ with people. He's not asking us to get in people's face. He's not asking us to be obnoxious. But he's asking us to say, at least, God bless you. He's asking us to say some little thing that lets them know that you are a believer in God, that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Now that can be a frightening kind of experience. And there's a part of us that wants to say, God wouldn't expect us to put ourselves in harm's way, would he? What would happen if I were in school? What would happen if I went to school and I let my classmates know that I was a believer in Jesus Christ and that his death and resurrection was important to me because it earned for me forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven? What would happen if they knew I went to church on Sunday, not because my parents made me, but because I wanted to? What would some of my friends say if I let them know I was committed to my Lord Jesus Christ as my crucified and resurrected Lord? And if they say, how was your weekend? You said it was good and the highlight was going to church on Sunday morning to worship my God, my Savior, my Lord. What would happen at work if it came out that you were a believer in Jesus Christ? I'm not saying that you're walking around and preaching and to everybody, but that they just got to know the fact that you were a believer in Christ Jesus and that you worship him regularly on a Sunday morning. I'm guessing, based on my own experience, that in most cases, nothing would happen. Nothing. If you say, God bless you, some people would say, thank you. Some people would say, God bless you too. But I have to acknowledge that there could come a time, and there does come a time, and there are times, when Christians are given a hard time because of their faith in Christ. At that point, we say again, well then, okay, remember what we said earlier. God does not expect me to put myself in harm's way, does he? But I also said, there are times when there are an exception to that rule. And I want to read one line for you from the gospel lesson for today. I'm sorry, from the epistle lesson for today. From Romans chapter 8. It is probably verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is a tough message for many of us to handle. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to find the courage to come out of the shadows and be willing to share Christ with other people. Now, our world tells us that's silly, that's stupid, that's ridiculous. No one should put themselves in a position where they can be harmed, endangered. And our sinful nature wants to agree. But I want to tell you about a man. I want to tell you about a man who was willing to put himself at risk for you and me. Something we were not and are not always willing to do for him. This man's name, of course, is Jesus. He was God. This happens to be Trinity Sunday, by the way. He was God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. But Jesus was God. And he left heaven to come down to the dark, shadowy, sinful earth to die for us, so that we could live in the light of forgiveness and the hope of eternal life in heaven. I said he died for us. He knew that when he came here, coming here was going to mean walking a tough road, a road that led to Calvary, a road that led to a crucifixion, a road that led to death. But it was also a road that led to a resurrection. A resurrection that earned for us complete, total forgiveness of sins and the eternal hope of life in heaven. So the next time you have an opportunity to come out of the shadows, to let people know that you believe in Christ as Savior and Lord, but feel hesitant to do so, just turn to the Holy Spirit and let him help you focus on the Christ who came out of the shadows for you and did not let a crucifixion stand in the way. Amen. And may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ grant you his mercy, his hope, his courage, now and forever. Amen.
Rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, let us turn to you, Lord, in our grief and in our remembrance of the fallen. Guide us toward a harmonious existence as we honor those who were willing to give up their lives that we may gather here today freely. On this Memorial Day weekend, we pray for peace and for those who gave all. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, the family and friends of Harold Tweetmeyer and the family and friends of Karen Barker, for those facing health concerns, Sandy Langdorf, Kara Kirshner, Chris Decker, Rosemary Ging, Anita Menino, Rick Ruth, Ronnie and Mary, Beverly, Mike Cleaver, Nikki, Suzanne Stock, Cheryl Olds, Rudy Becker, Alberta Schmidt, and for those in hospice care, Ellen and Carol Say, for all those serving in the military, police and firefighters, for all those suffering from the coronavirus and other health concerns, and their caregivers who have devoted themselves to helping one another, and to all world leaders, that God surrounds them with wise counsel, prayers of thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, and for Catherine Quazzerano and Chris Vansoy, who were united in marriage on Friday. Our sanctuary altar flowers placed by Carol and Tim Frost, and our Family of God Soup Kitchen sponsors, Greg and Khaki Mammal Merriman, Chuck and Diane Durantis, the Ostrander family, the Movitz family, the Quazzerano family, the Nehan and Stein family, the Fredericks family, the Orva and Nelt family, and the Mader family, and an anonymous donor. All this we ask as you have taught us to pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.